This is Torch columnist James Caldwell, joined by Torch specialist Greg Parks after his, or the day after his birthday, to discuss the September 8th Raw from Fort Wayne, Indiana, the big post Unforgiven Raw that, you know, maybe didn't quite feel like a special post-pay-per-view edition of Raw, but I think Chris Jericho being the star of the show certainly enhanced it. I think the top of the second hour match with Evan Bourne and Rey Mysterio enhanced the show. But Greg, what was your overall impression of this show coming off of a pay-per-view? It wasn't a major pay-per-view, but the show ended with a major world heavyweight title change to Chris Jericho, so that's a major story coming into the show. How do you think the show came across in that context?
Well, you know, you said last night wasn't a major pay-per-view, but and I guess as far as not being the big four, that's correct. But it was a big show in that it debuted the Scramble concept. I mean, that's big to me, I guess, and I think WWE portrayed it that way. And you're right, Jericho winning the title was a big deal last night, especially because he wasn't even in the match to begin with. Tonight's show, you said it didn't feel like a day after the pay-per-view show. It felt like there was a lot of mid-card stuff on there. It felt more like a placeholder show. You know, it wasn't a bad show by any stretch, but it just, you know, they capitalized on Jericho winning the title fine. I didn't have a problem with that. You know, he got the opening interview segment. He got the closing clip of him holding the title while Batista was in the ring staring at him. So I thought they capitalized on Jericho winning the title fine. It just didn't feel like a post-pay-per-view show. I don't know how to describe it, really. You know, they had main players on there, but there was a lot of changing. JBL kind of changed his character a bit by pulling the no respect card. Jericho changed his character last night by winning the title, and so he had a slightly different character in that he's a champion now. So it was a bit odd, I guess. And being there only two Raw matches last night on the pay-per-view, I guess you could look at it that way and say, well, that's maybe why it didn't feel like a post-pay-per-view show. There wasn't a lot of matches to talk about from last night or to, you know, capitalize on or start a new feud with or anything like that. But like I said, there's a lot of meat card stuff on here, and that's good. But you would think of that as maybe a week down the road or 2 weeks down the road, not the day after a pay-per-view. So in that way, it didn't feel like a day after the pay-per-view show. But like I said, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It was an okay show. You know, not bad, not blow away good, but it was okay.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons was the lack of babyface star power. There's no Michaels, no Cena, which of course is going to be the case for a while. There's no CM Punk. So these are guys that fans are used to seeing. So it did feel like kind of like one of those post-pay-per-view shows where guys are recovering in the storyline, and also translated into maybe the writer just recovering a little bit from booking a pay-per-view and going with some basic transition stuff. I mean, the main stuff they were trying to push was next week. Steel cage match, Kane and Ray, and their first singles match against each other since the program started. So it just seemed like they were kind of booking towards next week, and this week was more of a, let's just kind of bridge the gap and start pushing the next pay-per-view by focusing on next week. So in that sense, it served its purpose. It just didn't feel like a major show. I think it's
right. And good for them for booking ahead. You know, that people know what to expect now. It's always good to advertise matches in advance, we always say, because, you know, it gives it a bigger feeling. It gives it a feeling of greater importance when you book ahead. Hey, we're just happy if they plug the main event during the show a lot of times, you know. Yeah. That's all that makes us happy. You know, it doesn't even have to be a week ahead of time now, and probably it should be, but so it's a good sign that they're doing that. It's also a good sign that they are booking that far ahead. You know,
yeah.
It's a good sign that at least they're not going by the seat of their pants, which is what it's felt like at times. So it looks like they know where they're going with things. So except for the Key Mysterio thing, that's just
they keep trying to explain it, and I just want them to just move on. You know, just
they keep trying to explain it. They keep trying to explain it by not explaining it. It's almost like, you know, Kane wasn't going to give any hints, although he did give a hint. Or he wasn't going to tell Ray why he did what he did, but he was going to give a hint. So they're really kind of being as, not giving away as much as possible, I guess, in that angle. But we'll get to that. I don't want to jump ahead here.
Yeah.